Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Codere's fourth quarter 2018 results presentation. The management of the company will run you through the main business and financial highlights of the period. After the prepared remarks, we will open the line to questions. You may ask a question by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. For those connected to the webcast, you may type your questions directly into the Q&A window at any time during the call. I am now pleased to hand over to Mr. Amaral Corso, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our Q4 2018 financial results presentation. As in our prior calls, our CEO, Vicente Di Loreto, will begin with the most relevant events of the quarter, as well as his views on what we have achieved so far, where we stand today, and what lies ahead for the company this year. After his remarks, I will cover the financial highlights of the period, and then we will both take your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ángel. Good afternoon to everyone. A little over a year ago, I took on this challenging project with a clear vision and a very long list of things to be done under a thorough transformation plan. Looking back, I believe we have delivered, and in many cases, exceeding our initial expectations, and the financial results we are presenting today are a reflection of these achievements. With our Q4 adjusted EBITDA of 79 million euros, we reached 283 million for the full year, within our guidance of 280 million-285 million euros. We think this figure is remarkable in the tough environment we had last year, as we have had increased gaming taxes and a significant macroeconomic backdrop in Argentina that combined resulted in a reduction of adjusted EBITDA of nearly 40 million euros. In this complex environment, we have been able to deploy our action plan and not only mitigate the impact of these situations, but generate an adjusted EBITDA increase of over 3% versus 2017, thanks to operational improvements and growth of around 50 million. This result shows how we have been able to deploy efficiency and operational performance enhancements throughout the year, while also reacting to the tough environment we were facing. One year ago, when I took the responsibility to lead this company, we talked about my confidence in the business and the people in this organization. We have demonstrated our ability to change the company and generate business enhancements across all fronts. What we have done this year is only the first stage of the transformation plan that I had in mind for Codere. During this first year, we have focused on making the company leaner, eliminating duplicities, and facilitating decision-making processes. We have also improved slot performance management and made critical investment decisions to maximize returns on our product portfolio. We have improved the capabilities and structure of our online division, paving the way to grab one of the more relevant growth opportunities for Codere. Additionally, we have thoroughly reviewed our operational assets and optimized our portfolio, letting go loss-making operations and applying rigorous return-driven criteria to each new investment opportunity. A good indicator of what we have achieved is that we have grown our adjusted EBITDA margin by 2.5 percentage point to 19.2% in 2018. This has been achieved despite the reduction in euro revenues and the loss in relative weight of our Argentine business. This is a reflection of the new culture we are fostering in Codere, a culture of hard work, efficiency, cost control, and rigorous analysis of operating and capital expenses. All in all, we believe that despite all the challenges we have confronted, we have again produced a solid set of results in 2018. 2018 is already gone, and we are not stopping. I will now tell you about our growth initiatives and what we are working on in order to deliver the full potential of this company. First, let me remind you the green shoots we have produced in the delivery of our growth strategy. In our online division, the numbers in Spain have nearly doubled year-on-year. We have made a transition to the new online team effectively, being ready now to address and compete in other key markets like Mexico and Colombia, where we are increasing our marketing investments to accelerate brand awareness and revenue growth. But there is also significant potential in online in other key markets where we can have a strong position. During the past month, new laws have been approved in Brazil and in Argentina, both in the city and the province of Buenos Aires, which provide for a regulation of online betting in those markets. We think that significant business opportunities will arise once the regulation is defined, especially in Brazil, and that our company is extremely well positioned to benefit from them. Moving on to the retail front, in Spain, we have been able to grow capacity in the traditional slaughter business for the first time in years, and we have continued rolling out our sports betting business, reaching a leading position in Andalusia, which is the last local market to be regulated. In Mexico, critical licenses, I'm referring to the racetrack concession and the AMH gaming permits, have been renewed, and we have been able to add 4 halls to our portfolio. These calls include the reopening of Tuxtla, which was closed since 2013, of Coapa, closed after the earthquake of 2017, the acquisition of Nogales, and the open of a greenfield hall in Satélite, the most visited shopping center in the country. We are also working on how to leverage the new regional organization of the company to generate new efficiencies, achieve operational excellence, and maximize impact for the back office of functions and headquarters. Among others, we are launching various digitalization and automatization initiatives that will allow us to create shared service centers. At the same time, we continue to work on leveraging our CRM capabilities to improve our customer experience and satisfaction using gamification and big data analysis while protecting and developing high-value customers to drive revenue growth. I will refer now to the evolution of our main markets. We are especially pleased with the evolution of our Mexican operations, where 2018 adjusted EBITDA grew 14% to 106 million, and margins improved by some impressive 5 percentage points to 32%, the highest in the group. We continue to see Mexico as a key driver for long-term growth. In this market, as a prelude to the full commercial launch of our online activity, we have just signed a sponsorship agreement with the NBA. Argentina started to show improvements at the macro level in the fourth quarter, with monthly inflation starting to come down, although it is still a work in progress for the federal government. The peso remained fairly stable at the 42-43 level to the euro in the quarter, but its devaluation versus 2017 provoked us a significant decline on a year-on-year basis. As a consequence, Argentina has decreased its share in our EBITDA from 44 to 32%, resulting in a relevant change to our geographic mix, as our EBITDA is now not only growing, but also more geographically diverse. On the other hand, as we anticipated in our last call, the 2019 province of Buenos Aires budget set out a new tax on players, levied on prices from slots at a rate between 1 and 3%, and to be withheld by casino and bingo operators. On subsequent regulation of said law, approved and effective since February 1st, the rate was set at 3%. We expect the impact of this increase to stand below 10 million euros in 2019, and we are currently analyzing corrective measures to mitigate this impact. In Italy, our performance this year was impressive, with adjusted EBITDA increasing 17% to almost 28 million, with 1.2 percentage point increase in margin, despite gaming tax increases and capacity reductions. Unfortunately, it will be difficult to maintain such levels in 2019, as on top of the tax increases set out in September, the 2019 budget passed in December further increased rates for both AWPs and BLTs, and additionally, there was a third round of tax increases in January, last January, under which we will end 2019 with the pressure of direct taxes on our activity that will be approximately 20% higher than the tax pressure until September 2018, reaching an unprecedented average of 70% of our gross income revenues. We, together with the rest of the industry, are analyzing our position vis-à-vis the situation with the regulatory bodies. Even in this context, we are confident that the resilience of our business and our ability to optimize capacity deployment and pricing to customers and operators will still help us mitigate the impact of these tax increases and keep it below 10 million euros. Even the theoretical impact of these changes could reach up to 17 million euros. This year will be also a transformational year for our Spanish business, where we are still behind our expectations, both in terms of margins and growth potential. This year, we expect that the significant investments made in the last 3 years will begin to prove fruitful. Our efforts will be also focused on optimizing our portfolio of points of sale and improving the efficiency of our operations and local HUs. All of these developments will make 2019 a very interesting year for Codere, and even if financially, growth will be offset not only by the annualization of the Argentine peso devaluation, but also by the new or increased taxes mentioned before, the margin improvements and the initiatives I have described will help us deliver in 2019 at least the same level of EBITDA than 2018, or hopefully a notch above that, depending on how the evolution of the macro situation in Argentina continues. And by the way, also what I have mentioned in terms of the devaluation of Argentina will make the comparison of our numbers versus the first half of 2018 challenging. By meeting these expectations, we would have moved on from the macro situation in Argentina and would have created the growth platform to deliver the potential we all believe this company can achieve in 2020 and onwards. We are confident about our potential and invite you to look at our numbers outside Argentina in recent quarters. Ángel will show more details later about the assumptions and data within these figures. Finally, on a personal note, after a year leading this project and having faced many more challenges than I initially expected, my view about the potential of this company is reinforced and stronger. I want to recognize and thank everybody here for the hard work and the commitment in this transition year, which is ultimately the reason behind these results. This is it from my side. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll be happy to respond to any questions afterwards. And I will now hand it over to Ángel to cover the financial results of the quarter. Ángel.
Thank you, Vicente. Now, as usual, I will be following the presentation that we shared with investors yesterday. Unless otherwise noted, we will be referring to figures in euros and excluding non-recurring items above EBITDA. As in Q3, we will also be excluding inflation adjustments due to the application of IAS 29 on Argentina's reported figures. Starting on page 6 of the presentation, Q4 2018 revenues dropped 15% to 361 million euros versus Q4 last year due to the significant depreciation of the Argentine peso, which was partially offset by revenue growth in Spain. On a full-year basis, revenue was down 10%, reflecting the impact of the evolution of the Argentine peso. In terms of geographic mix, Mexico and Italy became our main markets with 23 and 25% of total revenues, whereas Argentina dropped 10 percentage points from 33% in Q4 2017 to 23% in this quarter. On a full-year basis, Argentina still remained the first market with 28% of revenues, followed by Mexico and Italy. Spain also increased its share considerably to 15% in the year. On page 7, Q4 2018 adjusted EBITDA grew by nearly 6 million euros versus last year, reaching 79 million euros. The full year figure was up by 9 million or 3.4% to 283 million, within the updated guidance range we provided in September. As Vicente mentioned earlier, we believe this is a very solid result considering the tough environment we faced in the year and reflects our ability to preserve profitability levels despite significant regulatory and macroeconomic headwinds. All of our markets except Argentina contributed positively to this evolution, with Mexico and corporate headquarters leading the gains. Markets such as Italy also contributed, despite set tax increases and capacity reductions. As a result, the share of Argentina in our Q4 adjusted EBITDA came down 17 percentage points from 41% in 2017 to 24% in 2018. For the full year, the decline was 12 percentage points, from 44% to 32%, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA composition that is more balanced and diversified. This trend can be better put into context on page 8, as the significant reliance on Argentine revenues and EBITDA is offset by increasing revenues and, more significantly, EBITDA in other markets, including Mexico, Panama, Uruguay, and Spain. Moving on to page 9, you can see how our adjusted EBITDA margin reached its 5-year high in 2018, on the back of a 6 percentage point decrease in operating expenses across that period. That 6% improvement in operating expenses is eroded by tax increases almost by half, especially if you take into account that some of the new taxes are on players and therefore reduce our accounted revenues. On the right-hand side of the page, we provide some of the initiatives that helped us achieve the 2.5 percentage points increase in 2018, which have to do with digitalization of commercial activities, mid and back office operations, the pursuit of a leaner, more efficient structure at all levels through regionalization of functions, and the improvement of profitability, both by slot but also by customer. On page 10, we are again providing as a reference our results in US dollars. In Q4, and given that the euro weakened against the dollar, the quarterly decline is sharper than in euro terms at 17%, while the full year one is still better, with a decline in revenue of 6% versus 10% in euros. In US dollars, full year revenues reached over $1.7 billion and EBITDA $334 million. On page 11, we can quantify the macro impacts of 2018 EBITDA at $30 million of devaluation in real terms once inflation and FX variations are factored in, which, together with another $10 million drag coming from gaming tax increases in Argentina and Italy, ultimately led to a nearly $50 million increase in EBITDA driven by growth and operational efficiencies. The $50 million is slightly below our Q3 estimate, not because less improvements have been achieved, actually more have been gotten, but because despite a strong quarter in Argentina, we are still losing greater ground to inflation as inflation peaked at year end. Even if at the reported level the increase is only 9 or 10 million, we believe this adjusted EBITDA figure is quite relevant to understand our performance and reflects tremendous operational improvements that unfortunately are not fully visible when comparing headline numbers. Moving on now to country level results, and starting with Mexico on page 12. We would like to walk you through some relevant milestones from the quarter. First, we extended licenses for 90 permits, which include 72 operating halls that we operate under our two main affiliates, AMH and Operadora Cantabria. These extensions last for 15 years until 2033. Likewise, we extended the Mexico City racetrack land concession by 25 years until 2048. Also in the quarter, we opened 4 new gaming halls, as mentioned before by Vicente, including a greenfield in Mexico's most visited shopping mall, Plaza Satélite, and a new acquisition in Nogales. The other two halls were reopenings of a hall that was closed in 2013 and another one that suffered structural damage in the September 2017 earthquake in Mexico City. Looking at the numbers on page 13, revenue in the quarter and the full year decreased slightly despite a relatively favorable macro context due to the tougher competitive dynamics, where over 45 new gaming halls have opened in the market in the last year. On the other hand, our quarterly adjusted EBITDA grew considerably by 37% versus last year and 14% on a yearly basis. This is the result of significant operational efficiencies, including the impact from the acquisition of slots that were previously leased. As a result, margins in the quarter reached 40%, and the full year one stood at 32%. On page 14, revenue and adjusted EBITDA performed slightly better in local currency. The small decrease of 1.4% on gross win was the result of a 7.3% decline in the number of total visitors, partially offset by a 5.6% increase in the spend per visitor. Moving on to Argentina on page 15, revenue and adjusted EBITDA declined by 41% in the quarter due to the significant appreciation of over 104% of the euro against the peso, but also due to the cash-in tax applied since last year, which reduces reported revenue. In local currency, on page 16, revenue and EBITDA grew 20% and 21% respectively, well below inflation of 47% in both cases, but significantly above 16% and 19% in Q3 this year. As we mentioned last quarter, it becomes very difficult to keep our revenues growing at the same pace when inflation is this high, as all of our revenue management tools, such as changes in denominations or whole percentages, become less effective. Still, we are seeing that figure improve quarter after quarter. Turning to Spain on page 17, revenue grew 10% to 58 million euros in the fourth quarter, while EBITDA decreased 10% to 8 million. This negative performance was partially affected by the fact that since September, Spain includes the online headquarters, which, as you know, has grown as we expand the business across other countries. For 2019, we will report online as a standalone business unit. As you can see on page 18, results across all verticals in Spain were positive. On the traditional AWP business, we increased capacity by almost 1,000 machines in 2018, which contributed to mitigate the 4.6% reduction in unit yields. With regards to our online business, gross win grew 40% in Q4 on the back of 60% more active users for both our online sports betting and casino products. Sports betting continued to show a positive evolution on the back of a significant capacity increase, which led gross win to grow by 8%. On sports betting capacity deployment, we started to focus on maximizing cash flows and profitability per point of sale, and have discontinued a few underperforming sports betting shops. Moving on to Italy on page 19, revenues declined 6% to 90 million in the fourth quarter, due to the 0.25% increase in PREU and the reduction on installed capacity enforced by the regulator, while adjusted EBITDA increased by 58% to 9.7 million, resulting in a 4.4 percentage points increase in margin to 10.8%. This remarkable performance was driven by our portfolio deployment and operational optimization efforts, together with network fees adjustments to accommodate the increasing pressure on our top line. On page 20, you can see how a 15% reduction in our AWP capacity was more than offset by a 24% increase in unit yields. On the VLT side, capacity increased slightly, while unit yields grew 6%. In terms of network connected units, we achieved the reductions set out on the 2016 stability law and have 34% network connected units less than in Q4 last year. Lastly, on this slide, we are providing the final pre-EU schedule following the third round of tax increases in less than 4 months. With this, we will be paying 21.6% of amounts wager on AWPs and 7.9% of BLTs starting in May. The impact from these increases will be significant on 2019 financials, at around 10 million after mitigating actions by our management team. Looking now at Panama and Colombia on page 21, the former posted a 3.5% decrease in revenue due to the closing of two non-performing casinos, which was compensated at the EBITDA level, growing 32% to 5 million. Colombia followed a similar pattern with a 5% revenue decline due to the closing of a significant casino and over 20 arcades, compensated at the EBITDA level with an increase of more than 1 million euros, reflecting our efforts to turn around this operation. With regards to Uruguay on page 22, revenue in HRU declined slightly due to a non-favorable FX evolution given the revenue recognition dynamics in the company. Carrasco, on the other hand, had a weak revenue trend in the quarter, driven by a decrease in spend per visit, which was, however, compensated at the EBITDA level, which more than doubled with respect to last year. Despite healthy performance at the EBITDA level, both operations in Uruguay were impacted in 2018 by a weaker economy in the country, given the recent volatility in Argentina and Brazil. Now, however, we are seeing early positive revenue trends in December and January that we hope might lead to an even more solid performance in 2019. Finally, looking at our online business on page 23, Q4 revenue increased by more than 4 million euros, reaching almost 13 million in the quarter. Likewise, the full year figure reached 44 million euros, almost 90% more than in the previous year. Spain continues to be the main market with 74% of the revenue mix, although the share of Mexico is starting to gain ground. Similarly, casino games are starting to represent a larger share of the pie and accounted for 30% of our online revenue, the rest coming from sports betting. In terms of EBITDA, the 1.2 million contribution in Q4 allowed the business to be comfortably above break-even levels in the full year. However, we expect increasing marketing and operational costs as we recently started to launch commercial efforts in Mexico and Colombia to attract new customers, which may derive in 2019 EBITDA losses in this business segment. Moving on to credit overview on page 25, we continue to recover our cash generation ability and grew free cash flow before growth capex to 144 million euros in the full year, 31% above 2017 figures. This level of cash generation is remarkable considering the macro and regulatory headwinds we faced in 2018. Corporate income tax paid and working capital have both helped us achieve these figures. On page 26, you can see how maintenance capex decreased 10% in the fourth quarter of the year, with the full year figure in line with our expectations. In terms of change in net working capital on page 27, it was a 17 million decrease and was mostly driven by a decrease in accounts payable and net taxes payable. A significant part of this change came from the evaluation of payables in Argentine pesos, so discounting for the FX and taking into consideration other minor adjustments, working capital outflow was a negative 4.8 million. Finally, in this section, on page 28, our credit figures continue to show stability, with debt increasing 10 million euros to 863 million due to the appreciation of the dollar against the euro in the year and its impact on our US dollar denominated debt. Leverage was up a tick versus end of last year and stable versus Q3 2018 at 2.8 times using adjusted EBITDA figures. Please let me remind you that for covenant-like purposes, inflation accounting in Argentina should be considered, which increases leverage modestly to 2.9 times. Cash on balance sheet was 82 million and our revolving credit facility remains mostly undrawn, providing ample liquidity of nearly 160 million. As mentioned on our prior call, cash generation will be a key priority for the company in 2019. So in addition to generating free cash flow levels comfortably above our debt service needs, we would like to generate significant cash in the year prior to amortization of local debt. As such, our current level of liquidity gives us comfort to face 2019 with no constraints to serve our needs, but cash generation and preservation will be a critical input when assessing and executing selectively certain growth opportunities during the year. In terms of guidance for 2019, on page 30, and based on a projection for the Argentine and Mexican pesos, yearly averages of 50.3 and 23.4, respectively, to the euro, we expect adjusted EBITDA to be between 280 and 290 million euros. Within this figure, we are predicting Argentina to contribute 20 to 25 million less than in 2018, given the full year impact of a weak peso and higher taxes. This significant decline, which amounts to over 60 million when comparing to 2017, is expected to be more than offset by gains in other markets such as Mexico and Spain, among others. Given the relevance of the Argentine peso, we would like to also provide you a sensitivity check that implies that a 1 peso move on the annual average to the euro moves our expected result or our expected guidance approximately 1.5 euro million up or down. To achieve this growth, we will redouble our operational improvements and efficiency measures to again deliver more than 40 million euros in additional adjusted EBITDA. As Vicente explained in the beginning of the call, we are already working on it. Please note that this guidance range would be prior to any marketing investment we make to grow our customer base in our online division, especially in Mexico and Colombia, or any new market that becomes regulated within the year. Even if conceptually we think about them as capex, like we do with all investments, from an accounting perspective, most of these marketing investments to grow the customer base are considered operating expenses and will go through the P&L. As you are well aware, in 2019, we will be implementing IFRS 16 accounting standards. Under these, most operating leases will be capitalized to the balance sheet and expensed as D&A and interest expense over the term of the lease. On page 31, we are providing a preliminary analysis of what the impact would have been if we were to apply IFRS 16 on 2018 financials. We would have reported an increase of close to 70 million in adjusted EBITDA and of 250 million on gross debt, which would have resulted on a small increase in leverage to 2.9 times EBITDA. Below EBITDA, IFRS 16 will increase D&A and financial expenses by 45 and 37 million respectively, which, being partially offset by a 4 million reduction on corporate income tax, would have resulted in a negative impact of 10 million at the level of the net profit. Finally, on my side, I would like to stress again that the positive trends that we are seeing in our operations across geographies and the solid results delivered have been so despite the headwinds faced. This solid outcome is a consequence of the hard work of the entire organization and determined actions that we have taken this year. We believe we will continue to deliver such a strong performance and attractive growth prospects to all of our stakeholders in Codere. This is it for my prepared remarks. Vicente and I will now be happy to respond any questions you may have. Operator, please open the call to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question by phone, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you are connected to the webcast platform, you may type your questions directly into the Q&A window provided. Thank you. We have a first question from Karen Elias from Barclays.
Thanks for taking my question. Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Just a very quick one, actually, to the extent that you can comment on that, there was speculation of your intention to raise equity, I think up to 200 million, to partially reduce basically debt. And obviously with the maturity of the bonds coming up, Argentina representing a lower proportion overall, is that something that you would consider in terms of refinancing the bonds, or any thoughts on that? Thank you.
Hi, Karin. We saw there were some rumors in the press about that. I think that as we have talked with many of you over the last quarters, and we have always said, there is an issue in the company with the liquidity of the stock, and there is a shareholders agreement that is the reason for that. We in the company are continuously working to assess how to solve that situation. And one of the avenues is to do an IPO for more than 200 million euros. When or how will depend on the performance of the company, when we achieve growth to be attractive to the markets, and will also depend on where or how the markets are performing in the time window. We are today not working explicitly to that end, but we are always attentive to market evaluation and company performance.
Perhaps what I may add is basically, as Angel was saying, as our shareholders agreement contemplate, and this is a factual and is of public domain, contemplates different termination options, among which an IPO of at least 200 million is a possibility. So we think that, this has not been discussed at the board director level. It's not something at that level, but in our case, as company managers, we think it is our duty to analyze and understand the implications of all possible routes of actions. And we, of course, have always ongoing discussions with banks. We have not formally mandated any investment bank in this respect, but of course we will analyze all the possibilities for the company.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Karim.
Thank you. The next question is from Ronan Clark from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, Angel. Hi there. Thanks for the presentation. I have a few questions, if that's okay. Firstly, just on Argentina and performance, I was wondering the sort of inflation gap between your pricing and general inflation. How was that trend? Because you were struggling a bit to catch up, I guess, right through the year. But as you exited the year, was that gap narrowing, or how was it today? And then a couple of questions on M&A. I'm just wondering if the Televisa process seems to have shut down. They've spoken about shelving their plans for at least for core disposals. I don't know if the Wind City situation comes within that, but if you could comment, that'd be great. And then on local debt, you referred to in the presentation. I thought you were talking about maybe paying down up to 30 million of it last year, but the balance is pretty close at year end. So did you pay any down and redraw, or what's the situation there, please?
Okay, let me. I take the first and the third.
Okay, go ahead.
Regarding Argentina, I think that we are having a bit of both. Our revenue is growing faster quarter on quarter. It grew 16% in Q3 versus last year. It has grown 20-point-something% in Q4. But at the same time, it was when the inflation peaked. at 47%. So though revenue was growing faster, the differential increased a bit. Inflation is already starting to come down, and revenue in December was very good. So we expect that gap will start to subside progressively in the next quarters. But still, we are not there. What is very important for us is not only how our revenue deals versus inflation, but also how our revenue deals versus our competitors. And what I can tell you is that our market share is stable, if anything, and so we are not seeing an issue with our performance. Is the industry as a whole that is not being able to produce revenue as fast as inflation. As I said before, the government seems to be able to reduce inflation. Still, this year we are thinking of an inflation around 30%, but we expect our revenue to progressively grow faster, little by little, and catch up with that number.
Yeah, perhaps the only thing I may add regarding the impact of inflation or high inflation in our operations is that in general terms, what we have we know and seen in the historic development of our business in Argentina is that the business, you know, is pretty resilient and has a very high capacity to withstand this type of headwinds. But when the experience is that when inflation is higher than 23 to 25%, it is we have always experienced this type of lag in terms of catching up with inflation. And this has to do essentially with disposable income. I mean, it's well known that salaries are still in Argentina, still trying to catch up with inflation. There in many cases, there are more than 10 percentile points of gap. That affects, of course, affects the disposable income of our clients, and that takes time to reduce. So, to the last part of your question, the gap has already begun to reduce, basically because of two reasons. The first one is, as Angel mentioned, inflation is going to get lower. I mean, so that is one side of the equation. The other side is that our revenues are behaving well. We had a very good closing of the year, last December, and the trend and the growth year on year is a little bit higher than the second semester of last year, which make us optimistic. But again, one of the issues or situation in Argentina is volatility. So in actuality, all of the market expected a lower inflation rate for January. It was a little bit higher than expected. So in a nutshell, I mean, more than 25% of inflation affects our revenues. It takes it takes time for us to catch up with that. And the gap is beginning to reduce. But it will depend pretty much on how the macroeconomy evolves.
Okay. Regarding your second question, PlayCity.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's difficult to make or to issue an opinion on a process that is led by a competitor, if you want, and is we can, if you want, comment on what's the process of a third party. What I can comment is that we saw that at the opportunity, our initial conclusions about the process is that it didn't fit, if you want, our current strategy in which, according to the volatility of the markets and all the things we have mentioned, we are taking a cautious approach to the management of our cash. Most importantly, in a market where, as you may know, we are clear leaders of that market, and this acquisition wouldn't necessarily add a strategic difference to our portfolio. So we step aside, but as far as we know, the process continues. At least we don't have any formal communication that the process has been stalled.
And just to add a bit on that, that doesn't mean that we are not growing ourselves in Mexico. As we said, we have opened halls. We are looking at different type of acquisitions, hall by hall, interesting opportunities to us so that we will continue to invest in Mexico during 2019.
Yeah, and in geographies that could provide probably in some cases more synergies or more that make more strategic sense, if you want, from the perspective of the competitive position of each one of the when we speak of Mexico as a whole. Well, we can do it, Mexico is a very big market, and there are different markets in the different territories. So we spot the best places where we can achieve competitive advantage, and that's the way we move forward.
Finally, on your question on local debt, this year we do have an schedule to repay $35 million. Those are the schedules we have. Last year we had $30 million. And we extended loans or negotiated new loans for around 25, so that we only amortized around 5 or 6 million. The objective this year is the same. We are working towards that. We have already reached small agreements in Uruguay, and we are working on others to be able to mitigate partially that 35 million of amortization schedules, so that we conserve cash and preserve cash and preserve the level of local debt that we consider optimizes or balance it, which is, as I have always said, around 100 million.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronald.
Thank you. The next question is from Mehmet Deri from UniCredit Bank.
Hello, guys. Congratulations for your results. I just have a question on your operations in Italy. What are your plans over there? As you already reduced the capacity, you have a relatively small size there, and size is key in that market. And you stopped also investing in growth capex in Italy. So, do you want to invest in the next year there, or is selling the operations in Italy also an option? And then the second question on Italy would be also the impact of the new tax on your EBITDA for 2019, which is expected to be below 10 million after mitigating effects. Do you expect these mitigating effects already to kick in 2019 or the year after? That would be very helpful if you could help us here. Thank you.
Okay, Angel, I may begin, and then you take the second part of the question. Okay, Italy. Well, as you know, and at least must presume, it's a very tough market for us, for all the gaming industry, I think. Of course, we are very, very much concerned on the situation in that country, because, as you know, our significant efforts to improve that operation get wiped out every year with one, two, or in this case, three tax increases. So it is difficult to grow profitability there. Of course, as we are seeing in different markets, not only in the markets where our company is operating, but in other markets, there is increasing tax pressure in the different markets for the gaming industry, and therefore it is our duty to be creative and to look relentlessly ways to improve our profitability. In that type of in the type of difficult scenario we are confronting in Italy, I think that not only us but all the operators are in the same mood. First of all, we think, and I think that this is the belief also of other operators, is that this level of taxing is not sustainable for our industry. Actually, on a personal basis, I think that maybe even confiscatory. And of course, we are considering all angles and all type of actions to protect our interests there. Regarding your question about the considering the sale, we don't see that in a scenario or in any scenario would be the best course of action. But we are not close to considering any other type of combinations or alliances or whatever that may allow us to get synergies, which is the only way, one of the ways to mitigate this type of situations. What I mean is, when there is so much pressure on margins, it is usual to see consolidation in the industries, and probably or possibly it could be the case in Italy. And then,
well, just to finalize, as you said, we have always said this in different conference calls. Our size is not the optimal in Italy, but at the same time, we are one of the more profitable operators in the sector. Our halls are leaders in most of the places where they are, and that's also a sweet spot that we want to protect. And as Vicente said, we during the last 2 or 3 years, or even more, 4 or 5, there have been continuous tax increases in Italy, and we have been able to, through many, many individual actions, being able to maintain profitability. And we expect this will be the same this time, maybe not the first year, maybe after a couple of years. These tax increases have been significant. But as I have said, I think that in total, year on year, the impact should be below 10 million. And there are many things we do to achieve that. It's not only headcount reduction or operational efficiencies, it's capacity deployment. As you know, in Italy, the number of bars per machine is not optimal. Like in other countries, like in Spain, you have 2 machines per bar. In Italy, you can have up to 8. There are improvements that can be done there. There is improvement in pricing mechanics to operators in the networks. The network fees have been increased. So there are a number of options that we have and we are already deploying. You have seen that in the last quarter of 2018. I mean, the result of Italy in the last quarter of the year was impressive even to us. We were expecting a strong quarter. Italy always has a strong last quarter, but it was very high. So we believe that we have the means to reduce that impact, and as Vicente said, we will always look for means to improve our strategic position in Italy.
All right. Thank you very much. Can I have one more question to Mexico, please? On
yes.
Your gross win per slot per day, it dropped in the fourth quarter, or even in the local currency. Can you help us to understand this? What's behind that?
Yes, there are a combination of things there. First, as you probably have seen also, we are increasing significantly the number of machines. During the last years in Mexico, there has been a progressive process that now is being accelerated to change the layouts of the halls and eliminate the former bingo halls areas and optimize the areas to increase the number of machines. Given how the competitive strategy happens in Mexico and our access to product at lower cost than our competitors because of our size and our ability to negotiate with them, during the last couple of years we have increased on purpose, so to speak, the number of machines in the halls, even if it decreases the win per slot, because it has increased the profitability of the halls as a whole, if you let me say it like that. So it has been part of the strategy to maximize and optimize the portfolio or the layout of the halls to maximize the win per hall instead of the win per slot, which for us is a secondary metric.
Perhaps what I may add also, we need to also factor in this comparison is that the 4 halls that we reopened or opened, as we mentioned before, that happened during the fourth quarter, and when they were open, by the way, they are reaching our expectations, but the halls need to ramp up once they mature. So that is part of the situation.
And if you like, we can add that one of the happenings, we have said it in the speech, there has been a proliferation of openings in Mexico. This is not the first time it happens. Every time that there is a change of government, it happens. So we competitively, there is a move when that happens, and then progressively we gain back lost ground in market share, because most of these people are small operators that now cannot compete with us in the long term, or even we achieve or buy them through small acquisitions when they lose ground and become loss making. So is the way the market happens.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Victoria Pease from Edison.
Hello, Victoria.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a few quick questions for me. I was just looking at your, as you say, the non-recurring costs expected for 2019, and it's interesting in terms of how much you might be spending in your online marketing in Mexico, just as an idea of what that might be and how that might compare to, say, what you spent in 2018 in Spain.
Okay. We have, as I will take advantage of your question, Victoria, and answer both the non-recurring expectation and the expected investment in online. The number of non-recurrings for next year will be between 20 and 25, about more or less half of this year. Unfortunately, we still will have a bit of litigation there. Where we believe it will be much less is in operational restructuring, etc., where this year has been a very heavy lifting. And in the next year, we expect to have some, mainly focused in the business in Spain, but not that much on an overall basis. And regarding the investment in online, we try to divide the marketing expense into natures: the marketing expense that you do to maintain your customer base, and the marketing spend you do to increase your customer base. So the second lag, that will be the only one that we will isolate from the adjusted EBITDA, so everyone has clear what is that chapter in the whole number, will be between 10 and 15 million during the year.
So 10 and 15 extra. And just sorry to go back to the 20 to 25 for the non-recurring. Is that to do with that's for 2019 for the restructuring?
Yes.
So that's an additional. Okay. And just on
20 to 25, Victoria, will include around 10 of litigation and 10 of restructuring, more or less, and then you always have a 5 for other small things here and there.
Great. And just on the IFRS, when can we expect some restated numbers?
IFRS 16 will begin to be applied in Q1 2019. So this year we will have to make the difficult effort to report to you Q1 2019 IFRS 16 numbers. We will have a comparable of 2018, but will not be a reformulation of 2018, will be a pro forma of first quarter of 2018, and we will also give you a pro forma of Q1 2019 under the old standards, so you can see the comparison both ways. It will be difficult, but as it is explained in the presentation, IFRS 16 changes significantly the look and feel of the P&L of this company, and we need to give both pictures so everyone can understand the business with and without IFRS 16, so that you can follow up, hopefully, as easy as it can get.
Yes, it's definitely complicated. And just in terms of your EBITDA guidance, I mean, can we just imagine that it'll be a similar shift?
I think so. I think that you can imagine it will be a similar shift, but we will follow up to you, particularly on that issue, to make sure that I give you the right number.
Thank you.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Sina Kieran from Newsinich.
Hi, good afternoon. You kindly gave us the estimated currency, foreign currency rates that you factor into your EBITDA guidance. Can you also remind us of the sensitivities of these three currencies on EBITDA effect?
Well, I think I have given you the most relevant one, which is the Argentine peso. The Argentine peso to move from 50 to 51 or 50 to 49 changes EBITDA range around 1.5 million in total. I don't have on the top of my mind the remaining ones, but you can more or less assess that all the rest being equal, if the dollar moves, the EBITDA is like Spain and Italy do a little more than the headquarters. The EBITDA moves more or less like the US dollar to the euro moves, if the US dollar remains stable versus the other local currencies.
Okay. And in your response to a previous question about the impact in Italy, the 100 million, sorry, 10 million, that's after the mitigating
yes.
actions, right? So what's the gross impact?
I think we, you said it before in the
call,
I think we said 17.
17, that's right, right, you said it. Okay. And lastly, you obviously have a wall of maturities, the bonds in 2021. It's still some time to go, but how are you thinking about refinancing plans?
Yeah, I guess the response is similar to the one we had with the re-IPO. As you very well know, the lock-up period for the current bonds expired in October last year, 31st of October last year, and since then and even a bit before then, we have been thinking of, and we have in our agenda to think about our bonds and when and how to refinance. Unfortunately, the market has not been there. The market has still has a lot of pressure on emerging markets. And we are looking attentively to that because we believe our performance and what I call the de-Argentinization of our EBITDA should help us to overcome those questions. And we believe that when the markets improve a bit, as you probably follow our bonds, they have been improving recently. We are going to be attentive, and if there is an opportunity, we will analyze what to do. Our intention is not to wait until the end of 2021 to renew the bonds, but we all have to be aware that there is pressure in emerging markets. This year, there is AMLO in Mexico, elections in Argentina, so it will be a bit of a volatile year. We will be attentive and see what we can do.
And I may add that probably after those elections happen and we have more clarity of the future government, probably will be from the political point of view, probably the right window may appear. It had to be combined with the financial window, I mean with the markets window. So probably by the end of the year would be a nice period, but we will be open to whatever window we may analyze.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Miguel Medina from JB Capital.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions. You have provided us with this 10 to 15 million figure for non-recurrent marketing spending online in Mexico and I think it was Colombia. If this legislation that the CEO referred to about online in Argentina and Brazil is implemented in 2019, will this have an impact on either, you know, your marketing expense or possibly your growth capex? That was the first question.
Growth capex, no. Marketing spend, probably yes. But let me color that a bit. First, Brazil, I am not expecting anything before the very end of the year. So it's an opportunity that we will be analyzing and we will have to plan and prepare, but it's very difficult for us to think that the Brazilian regulation will have any practical effect this year. In terms of Argentina, Vicente helped me here, I think they are trying to be a bit faster for us, so we might have something on the second half of the year. For us, the opening of a market, having the platform already up and running and operating today in Spain, Panama, Colombia, and Mexico, I'm not going to say it's a lot of work, but it's not much more that switching on a new market and doing a small, very small operational investment or operational expense in the countries. What drives growth will be obviously the marketing investment that we do to face those markets. I believe that whenever that regulation is ready, which might be in the case of Argentina before May results or Q1 results, definitely I would expect before the Q2 results, we will have a plan and we will communicate. At this point, like the regulation is not determined, we do not have levels of taxes, we do not have conditions, it's still very early to have a business plan with an adequate number for investment. Still, you can consider that if 10, 15 is for Mexico and Colombia, I wouldn't think Argentina, with the population we are targeting in the province and the city, which are the places that are being regulated, will move that needle very significantly. But still, when we have the regulation, we will discuss with you what implies.
Go ahead.
No, what I may add is that probably we will have the first regulations, detailed regulations for Argentina, both from the city of Buenos Aires and the Buenos Aires province, because they are two different jurisdictions working on the regulation at the same time, if you want. Probably it may happen a couple of months from now, but typically the awarding of licenses or whatever mechanism the regulators define takes time. So if we want to fine-tune the timing, probably whatever investment we need to make will not necessarily be huge during this year. But what I feel is that we have a huge opportunity here looking forward, because as Angel was saying before, we have our platform already having good results in other countries. And as you know, we have a leadership position in Argentina, and we will definitely be first movers there if the regulation is reasonable. So I think that we will have a very good opportunity to have it. I'm repeating myself, but I want to emphasize that.
As Vicente said, the impact of this year numbers will not be major.
Yes.
But we will keep you updated as the regulation is passed.
We need to see that, yes.
Okay, just one clarification. Obviously, it's a great opportunity for you because of the infrastructure you have, etc. And from your words, it seems that the regulator is not thinking at this point in time of like an upfront payment or a significant cash outflow on your behalf. Is this interpretation correct?
Yes, that is the understanding we have. It will not be significant in terms of upfront cash for the license. That is our interpretation also, but we need to expect, to expect the final regulation, and we will see. But your interpretation is correct, up to what according to what we know as of today.
Okay, and then moving on to the very exciting subject of IFRS 16. One question: if I look at the rental expenses, for example, in 2018, I think they were running at a level of around 110 million euros. When I look at the IFRS translation, I think you put 60 or 70. Is that because it only covers the rent that you pay for the halls?
It is because two or three reasons. First, in the last quarter of the year, we have acquired a significant portion of our machines that were leased both in Mexico and Panama. So we spent a capex of around 40 million in Q3 and Q4, and that has had not a full impact in 2018 numbers, but will have a full impact in 2019 numbers, and reduces the impact of IFRS 16. That's one. Secondly, IFRS 16 is a bit special and doesn't apply to all the leases. Any lease that you have with less than 1 year of life is not applied, and IFRS 16 is also not applied to small assets in the group, anything below 5,000 euros, I think it is. So there is always some leakage in leases that will still be reported as leases in the company. But my understanding is that the key two aspects for why the 70 is far from the 110 is, first, because we have acquired a number of machines at the end of the year. Second, because of the evolution of the FXs. You can bet that the cost of leases in Argentina in the first half of the year is not the same as the cost of leases in Argentina in the second half of the year.
Okay, sorry, and the final one on IFRS 16, can you walk me through how you go from like a 60, 70 to the debt figure? Is that just you apply a 3.5 multiple because that's what the IFRS 16 says, or how do you arrive to the debt figure?
No, in IFRS 16, before today, we were given an EBITDA and an assessment on the debt based on a 4x figure. But IFRS 16 has a specific procedure on how to calculate the debt associated to each lease, and that debt depends on the extension of the lease contract, the possibility or probabilities of that lease being renewed, etc., etc. So there is, and then it is also affected by the WACC in each of the countries that the lease is. So it's a complex calculation. Maybe that is done individually for each lease. So maybe if you want to have more detail of that, we can schedule an offline call with you and give you the full technical picture, because I cannot solve it in a couple of minutes. But I'm happy to do it if you want to spend half an hour on that.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Piotr Osovich from Iron Shield.
Hello, and thank you for taking my question, gentlemen. Just two, if I may. First, can you please provide a bit more color on the CapEx guidance for 2019? So what is the total figure, and what are the key buckets there, and how much of this CapEx at the moment committed versus how much discretion you have? And then just a housekeeping point, how much of your tax has been paid in Argentina?
Okay, let me get to the first one. We usually give maintenance CapEx guidance. This year will be 75 to 80, probably lower than in 2018. There are no licenses forecasted to be renewed this year. We always have the bingo licenses in Italy that amount of about 6 million, but no one knows when that is going to be renewed. They have been extending them for 3 years now, so there is no question about that. So maintenance CapEx, 75 to 80 million. Growth CapEx or number would be much smaller than this year. Our expectation is 20 to 25. But having said that, growth CapEx is more variable if opportunities arise. But our plans are to do 20 to 25, on top of the 15 I said before, 10 to 15 in marketing, that is not included in this figure. So when you talk about commitments, the good thing this business has is that CapEx is done in very small bits that we can decide one by one, because we can acquire machines in each of the countries, in each of the halls. We can make improvements in halls one by one. So in terms of committed CapEx, we have very little, if any, and we always adapt the CapEx to our cash or liquidity situation. So I wouldn't say there is any relevant committed CapEx. And in terms of corporate income tax, you have seen this year that the corporate income tax has been reduced significantly for an account of 55 to 60 million to 38 million in the year. This year will be around 40 million, and that reduction is mostly because of Argentina. Argentina used to be 30 million or so of corporate income tax, 30 to 35, and with the devaluation and the new taxes, etc., is going to be 15 to 20 million or so.
And sorry, to be clear, this is the cash tax figure, not the P&L.
Well, They both should be similar. They have not been similar this year because in Argentina we have had the hyperinflation and the revaluation of assets, and those two are non-cash items that have distorted a bit the picture. But usually those two figures are more or less the same. What will happen in the following years, thanks to this hyperinflation and revaluation of assets, is that accrued tax would be a bit higher than paid tax. Sorry.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. And the last question is from Maxim Koger from ODDO.
Hello, Maxim.
Yeah, good afternoon. So I had a first question about Mexico because profitability was very high in the fourth quarter, so around 40%. So I mean, it's a lot higher than in previous quarters or years. So I was curious to know if that could be sustained to some extent into 2019 and 2020. Another question is on Spain. I mean, it was in contrast a bit more lumpy because profitability decreased versus last year. So my question is, I mean, was it due to lower, I mean, higher payout or an investment in particular? Will the change of the headquarters of online to Melia change anything to that? Yeah, and that's all.
Okay. Let me start with Mexico and point out to seasonality because I think it's relevant to everyone. Q4 is always has always been the best quarter in many of our markets. Especially is very relevant in Italy, always, in Mexico, and in the traditional business in Spain. Now with the sports betting and online and the volatility is a little less marked. But Q4 is always a big quarter. In Mexico in particular, has always been a big quarter. In the fourth quarter of 18, you have two factors in. Seasonality, and that it is the first quarter where we have reported leases after we have acquired the machine. So we have an additional uptick that will be sustained over the year. But you shouldn't expect that the 7 Q4 year in Mexico will be just translated to Q1, Q2, Q3. Usually Q1 is below Q4 in many of our markets, and you should be looking at Q1 last year. At the end, we are expecting to have similar profitability, maybe a bit above last year. So last year, EBITDA per quarter will be a good reference of what is going to happen this year. In Q1, we have the positive of the leases, but we will be accelerating online, so there are a number of factors moving in that will affect the profitability of the quarter.
Yeah, sorry if I made that. I felt speaking about Mexico, because for the company as a whole, we need to bear in mind that the comparison, in the case of Argentina, we will compare completely devalued, if you want, Q1 2019 versus a previous devaluation Q1 2018. In that case, the comparison will be very hard.
Yes, and that will affect. So every market will be higher than the last year, but the heat in Argentina in Q1 will still be significant. You have to bear in mind that the Argentine peso started to devalue at the very beginning of May and accelerated at the end of August, September.
Exactly.
And regarding Spain is been a bit volatile. It is true that in the last quarter there is a bit of an uptick because we have hired a whole team to deploy the online structure in all our operations in the world, including Mexico, Colombia, etc. And those guys sitting mostly in Malta, Melilla, and Israel, in this last quarter have been accounted in Spain, while the revenue is being accounted in Mexico, Colombia. So it has made the result of Spain suffer a bit. That will be changed in Q1, and we will report those business
cleanly and fully separate. So you shouldn't read too much in the fourth quarter of 2018. Still, and I think we have said it in the presentation, Spain is not giving us the profitability we were expecting. And after we have finally deployed sports betting throughout all the marketing spaces, now all the regions are regulated, up and running, is the moment to look for profitability, assess every single point of sale, and you should see a much better Spain starting probably in the second quarter of this year.
If I may add also regarding Spain, to be open, I mean, it's the only market where I still feel a little bit frustrated in terms of how we are doing it, and we will, as a team, and I personally will put a lot of focus on improving the situation. We will do it this year, and you will see the results. We have been spending a lot of time revisiting our competitive position in each one of our business lines. I will not repeat what Ángel has already mentioned regarding online. And regarding retail, we have been, clear focus on profitability. We have been closing some points of sales which were not delivering expected results. We have reviewed all of our past investments. Some of them did not perform as expected, so we are streamlining operations, the back office services, the whole thing. And I expect and I promise that we will improve this business. And actually, the prospects of what we are already seeing in terms of we have a long list of actions we are going to implement, and I feel confident to improve the performance.
Yes, and I said it will not be first quarter.
Hopefully, it
will have an uptick in the first quarter, but during the year you will be able to see the changes in the space.
Yeah, and a final comment, sorry, also that part of the upside will be generated also by the fact that during 2018 some of the openings related to sports betting last years were still dragging our results because they were not mature, and now they are beginning to mature. So that will be the maturity or the getting the fruits of or the returns of the investment will be part of the equation to improve the performance, or at least to achieve our expectations of improved performance for this year.
Okay. And just one last quick question. When you speak of 20 to 25 million euro of gross capex, does it include small M&A? I mean, bolt-on?
Yes, mainly small M&A, greenfields, and what we call greenfields, which is to deploy a new hall from scratch, and a small M&A here and there, a bit in Mexico, maybe a bit in Spain, etc.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no more questions.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining the call. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to me or Guillermo or any other member of the team. Thank you again for your time, and I look forward to speaking with you for Q1 results in May. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.